probably always a feature of my life, or for that matter, any human life. It seems like lately I've been handling a lot of questions. Up in Boston, where I live now, people will ask me things like, "How do you like being back in school?" Answer, "Oh, I just love 23rd grade." "Do you miss the parish where you were in D.C.?" Answer, "Yes, every day." "What do you miss about the parish?" "Being back here now for the first time after the tremendous year that I spent here, my first year as a priest, has actually prompted some questions of my own. How are you? How are your families? And how in the world did you manage to keep this place standing after I left?" Because even though this church is just over 200 years old, I'm pretty sure the place is going to crumble after my 12 months here. So think Jesuits. Unless they're purely rhetorical or just plain silly, like that last question, the purpose of questions is to open up a gateway to conversation, to move into dialogue, to have a deep encounter with someone else. Consequently, we shouldn't be surprised at all to learn that Jesus, who was always about deep encounter, initiates his public ministry, at least in John's gospel, by asking a question. We just heard it. "What are you looking for?" Starting this way with a question distinguishes him from Matthew and from Mark, but it puts him in league with Luke, who has as Jesus' first words as a boy who stayed behind in the temple without his parents' knowledge. And he looked at them and said, "Why were you looking for me?" Which in Greek is almost the same exact question as "what are you looking for?" It's rendered differently just because of the context. I must have read each of those passages 100 times, and it was only this week that I discovered that similarity. You can learn something in 23rd grade. The biblical fun continues. We hear this question at the start of John's Gospel, and the scholars tell us that that's mirrored at the end of the Gospel when Mary Magdalene comes across the risen one. And Christ asks her, "Whom are you looking for?" So, Mary Magdalene, the unnamed companion, and even Mary and Joseph, Jesus' own parents, get asked the same question. And today it's our turn. What are you looking for? This question isn't just a peculiarity of the Bible. It is part of the deep grammar, the primordial question of our very own lives, put to us anew by Christ, who calls us by name, just as he once spoke to Mary Magdalene in the garden by name. And asking us once again, what are you looking for? Inevitably, wonderfully, we're going to give different answers. And I mean that in the sense of you're going to answer this way, you're going to answer this way, and those are going to be different. But also in the sense of you're going to answer this way now, but some years ago you answered differently, and some years from now you'll answer differently still. Liturgically speaking, the question could hardly come at a better moment. We're just moving now into ordinary time. And even though we'll soon trade out the green of ordinary time for Lenten violet and for Easter white, we will eventually work our way back to ordinary time. where we spend the bulk of the year following Jesus day to day through his normal, ordinary life. Just like your lives. Just like my life. Perhaps this can be the question then that we cycle through during this year, and maybe especially during ordinary time, to try to grapple with, what are you looking for? As we do so, I think that Andrew and the unnamed companion from the gospel give us some guidelines on our journey, which each of us takes individually, yet all of us take together. A journey to look for whatever it is we're looking for. First, recall the way that Andrew responds to Jesus' question. Rabbi, where are you staying? Initially, it might seem like answering a question with a question would make Andrew the patron saint of lawyers or fresh teenagers. But remember what the purpose of a question is. It's to move into deeper encounter. When I hear Andrew's response, I hear the question as, what are you looking for? And I hear the response as, I don't know. But I think I'm going to find it with you. Perhaps it's not so different for us. I think if all that we said to the question, what are you looking for, was Jesus, it runs the risk of being an incomplete answer. But for the Christian, any answer to that question that isn't in some way wrapped up in Jesus runs that very same risk. Second, recall what Andrew does after asking this question. He first goes to find his brother. And he says to him, we have found the Messiah. And he brings Simon to Jesus. When the Lord came knocking on the door of Andrew's life, the first thing that he did was to go and to share that experience with someone he loved. Now, I'm certainly not going to suggest that we all start going door to door talking about how much Jesus means to us. I think that would have limited apostolic effectiveness. But is there anyone close to you in your life, as close as Andrew was to his very own brother, with whom you can share something about what you're looking for? About what you're looking for and couldn't find. About what you dare not say you're looking for. Andrew did that. And it changed more than his brother's name. It changed Peter's entire life. What are you looking for? This is the question that Jesus poses in today's gospel. It's the question that Jesus poses to us each and every day. So let us join Mary Magdalene and Andrew and his companion, Joseph and Mary, by grappling with this question. And when we have found our answer, when we have found Jesus pointing us, inviting us somewhere, let us join John the Baptist in proclaiming, however we find him, behold, the Lamb of God.